Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host Bea Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Community Voices is conversations with neighbors, artists, and area business people, along with events you might have missed. Today, TEDx U of I Springfield. The TED Radio Hour airs on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS during story time, Friday nights at 8, and after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Saturday mornings at 11. TEDx events include live speakers and are organized independently under a free license granted by TED. These events are not controlled by TED, but event organizers agree to abide by the TED format and are offered guidelines for curation, speaker coaching, event organizing, and more. They learn from TED and from each other. More than 3,000 events are now held annually. In the spirit of TED, speakers introduce themselves before they go on stage and begin their talk. Here's Taryn Christie with her talk, Why Aren't Prisons Built for Periods?
Hi everyone, my name is Taryn Christie. I am a junior double majoring in political science and legal studies here at the University of Illinois Springfield. I am so honored and excited to chat with you guys today in my talk, Why Aren't Prisons Built for Periods? So let's dive in and get uncomfortable as we bridge the gap between prisons and the public. Enjoy and thanks for listening. Imagine this, you're 12, maybe 13 years old, and life is good, right? I mean, sure, maybe you have a math test on Tuesday. Oh, and you're really hoping you get invited to that big pool party coming up. But you know, for the most part, you've got it all figured out. So you're a preteen, you just go to the bathroom one day, you look down, and you realize that you're bleeding from somewhere. You're not even really sure where. You panic, dying. Yes, you definitely might be dying. So you do what any logical person would do, and you go find your mom, and she says you're not dying. She says that you just got your first period. Pause. All right, are you guys uncomfortable yet? You're worried that I'm gonna keep describing what it's like for a preteen to get their first period? Well, I'm not gonna lie to you. Parts of this talk are gonna be uncomfortable. Because it is awkward, right? I mean, sure, yes, periods are natural and normal and all that good stuff. But that doesn't make it any easier to talk about. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. So this isn't going to be a big periods are beautiful talk. I'll be the first one to say that more often than not, they're a considerable pain. And I would personally be a lot more comfortable in one of those cozy auditorium seats instead of being up here talking about them. So keeping all of this in mind, let's get back into that mindset of the 13-year-old who thinks they're bleeding out. Now, generally speaking, most preteens get the learning control curve under control in due time. Sure, the pool party was awkward when everyone asked why you wouldn't get in the pool to swim. But if you're from a middle-class family, period care will likely become relatively uncomfortable but largely mundane. You'll buy your monthly packs of pads, tampons, or you'll invest in a menstrual cup, and you'll keep going with your life. So for the majority of us, it's definitely easier and certainly more comfortable to not talk about that time of the month. And we shouldn't have to talk about it if we don't want to, right? But if you're one of the 1 in 5 women in the United States who cannot afford menstrual hygiene products each month, talking about it is going to become a serious part of your wellness. Because when you're faced with either free bleeding or asking for an extra pad, these are those times when talking about it becomes non-negotiable. Insufficient access to period products is commonly referred to as period product insecurity, and this could be an entire talk in itself. But today, I'm going to narrow in and talk about how incarcerated women are so uniquely affected by the consequences of period product insecurity. And I'll start with a few critical distinctions before we really get into things. First, I want to make it unequivocally clear that not every person who experiences a period identifies as a woman. Transgender individuals experiencing periods inside men's correctional facilities are increasingly at risk of essentially every single issue I'm going to address today. But there isn't any kind of database establishing who identifies as transgender in correctional facilities. making their stories and experiences more difficult to track down. Today, I am primarily focusing on the experiences of women, simply because that's the data I have access to. My second statement is more of a personal one. While I have visited prisons, care deeply for people who are incarcerated, and have researched this issue with a passionate fire in my stomach, I will never be able to truly understand or speak for the people who have experienced having a period in prison firsthand. My hope is that this talk will empower those individuals to share their story in whatever platform suits their needs, and that my talk can promote practices and resources to further their fight for equity. Now, moving into some more technical distinctions. What is a period? Now, we don't need to get too scientific here, so think of it this way. The female body goes what's called a menstrual cycle. So this is a series of repeating events. The cycle is controlled by hormones with the ultimate goal of preparing the body for pregnancy. In preparation for a fertilized egg to implant itself in the uterine wall thickens. If a fertilized egg is not implanted though, then this thickened lining begins to shed and prepare to restart that cycle. When we shed the lining, we bleed it out. The average period lasts for about 3 to 7 days, and every woman experiences this process differently. Some women bleed more than others, and in general, menstrual cycles are not like clockwork. They can be irregular, and for women with conditions such as endometriosis or other complications, the bleeding can last for weeks at a time and be accompanied by excruciating cramping. Wow, so that's a lot of blood, right? How do women manage periods then? Well, here we see tampons, pads, liners, and menstrual cups. Menstrual cups are not currently offered at any carceral facility based on my research, even though they provide a really unique and high amount of bodily autonomy. See, menstrual cups are reusable, eliminating the need to provide a constant stream of products and giving a woman security and knowing that she will always be able to handle her period comfortably. This is not the case for pads, liners, and tampons, which are all disposable, so they need to be changed out frequently in order to avoid dangerous and painful infections. Currently, only a handful of states have any kind of policy offering free menstrual supplies in their state prisons. And often these policies only include access to pads or liners, so tampons must still be purchased at commissary. We see a few things start to happen as supplies dwindle down. First, a woman running low on supplies might try to just buy more at commissary. But keep in mind some of these numbers from the Prison Policy Initiative. We know that half of all incarcerated women are actually housed in jails, not prisons. Jails are smaller facilities meant for people awaiting trial or serving out really short sentences. The short-term nature of jails means that there is often less programming, less wage-earning opportunities, and less resources in general. Now add on the fact that a majority of these women are primary caretakers for children, and we start to see how an incarcerated woman's money can be spread really thin. Often women are faced with spending half their month's wage on a box of tampons from commissary, or for paying for extra time on the phone with a loved one. So let's say that she can't afford to buy more tampons, but she has a really heavy period and she's desperate for help. Well, she can try to make an appointment with a nurse, but this is often a really dehumanizing experience. Typical procedure states that a woman requesting more pads for medical reasons will be given a fresh pad to use, and then the nurse will examine the amount of blood on the pad to determine whether or not they think the woman actually needs more pads. Again, there is very little bodily autonomy involved in this process. But I'll just add, you know, that periods don't really work like this. It's not just the same amount of blood all day, every day. The amount of blood depends on what part of the cycle you're in. So if you can't get an appointment on your heaviest day, well, they might just not believe you that you even need any more pads. No matter what, incarcerated women are at the liberty of other people making these distinctions on whether or not they need necessary health supplies. So some prisons have policies where the woman can get more pads if she personally asks a correctional officer. But this puts the woman in a really unique and vulnerable situation. We're not talking about a woman asking a correctional officer for more toothpaste here. We're talking about a woman under correctional control asking her direct supervising figure for a supply that they know she literally needs in order to avoid bleeding through her clothes and humiliating herself. In the most extreme circumstances, this power dynamic was in full display at the Alabama Women's Prison. A federal investigation at the Julia Tutwiler Prison for Women revealed that male correctional officers were withholding menstrual supplies from women in exchange for sex. Though this is an extreme example, I think it really captures the gravity of incarcerated women's vulnerability when faced with insufficient menstrual supplies. These issues are not going away, and they're not just going to get solved on their own. Women are the fastest growing prison population by far, growing by 834% over the past 40 years. So how can you, the people sitting here today or watching this on a screen, do anything about access to menstrual supplies in women's prisons? Well, essentially, it all boils down to this. Not talking about periods is not a privilege that everyone has. Regardless of whether or not a carceral institution has free menstrual supplies, the women still have to ask for more supplies every time they need them. When asked about providing unlimited menstrual supplies to incarcerated women, a male state representative from Maine notoriously stated that the jail system and the prison system were never meant to be a country club. But what do you think? Did what I just described really sound like a country club to you? If anything, that representative is proving my point perfectly. We all need to be talking about periods, whether you experience one or not. How can we expect our representatives or our prison officials to understand and to prioritize these issues when the general public tends to shy away from period talk altogether? At a minimum, it deserves a dialogue. As we've seen here today, incarcerated women do not have the choice to avoid these conversations. So yeah, talking about periods is uncomfortable, but keep in mind that for incarcerated women, speaking up is part of getting by. Thank you.
Taryn Christie and her TEDx talk, Why Aren't Prisons Built for Periods? This local TEDx event is organized by passionate individuals seeking to uncover new ideas and share the latest research locally that sparks conversations in our community. When we return, when should you choose to ignore your gut? Community Voices is a way to get to know your neighbors in these isolated times. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m.
This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.